Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Nico Bistolfi, the CEO of Pio. That's spelled P-I-I-O. Good morning, Nico. How you doing?
Hi, Mark. Very good. And you? Thanks for the invitation.
Well, thank you. It's always good to talk to a fellow Bay Area person here. We're not too far apart, maybe about 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. So, but you came from a long way away. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Well, I'm the co-founder and CEO at Pio. Before that, I also co-founded the most prominent e-commerce website in my home country, in Uruguay, in South America. The story there is that we bootstrapped from 4 to 150 people in 3 years, and we got to 25 million in annual revenue. That's for a country that the population is 3.5 million. It's a very large company, and it was a very, very good experience to be living. I've been working on web technologies for the past 15 years, 18 years. My first job as a developer was for a social network in 2006. The social network was based in Europe. I've learned a lot of my tools. I learned a lot doing that, especially for scaling website. I remember we had about 10 million people going to the website. That in 2006 was a lot. And I got to be the software architect of the solution. So it was also a very, very good experience. And that's how my career started. And today with Pio, what we're trying to do, we're trying to help websites build faster and deliver a better experience to the users. We know that time is money, and every second that your users are waiting for your page to load is a second that they are not buying your product and that they're not seeing what they want to see. And that's what we're aiming for. We have a few products that can help people with that, but we also work together with the companies to help them understand what are the use cases, where they're standing right now, what are the main things that they can fix in a short period of time to boost their performance, and then work on a long-term goal to get it to the right place.
Interesting. So your typical customer, what I would assume would be a SaaS provider. Is that true?
Any company that has a website and that their websites bring revenue or bring new customers in a certain way, the performance is going to be important for them. Yeah. Today, Google is changing how they're ranking website, and they have something called the Core Web Vitals. That's a few set of metrics that will determine how higher your website is going to rank among your competition on Google, and it's going to be based on performance. You already have the other SEO metrics in place and techniques, but performance is taking a very big part of the Google ranking.
Oh, very interesting. And just out of curiosity, when did you move from Uruguay or wherever you came from to the United States?
I say 2 years, kind of, because I was going back and forth. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely before COVID. We finalized our lease for our home, and then COVID started.
Interesting.
Very challenging.
And you know, as long as you measure these types of things, I'm just curious, what is considered acceptable performance or acceptable response time on a website, especially an e-commerce website? Like, is it sub 1 second? Is it 3 seconds? What is it?
So before, people was used to measure the performance in page load. Today we are talking about different metrics. One, the most important, is called the largest contentful paint, which means that how fast is your website showing something meaningful to your users. And when we talk about page load, we're talking about less than 3 seconds. That was the goal back then. Today, page load is not that important, and the largest contentful paint or the largest meaningful paint should be less than 1 second, definitely. Mm-hmm. If someone clicks on a link after searching for your website or clicks on an ad, and it takes more than 1 second to show something, some information to the user of what's some information of value, right? Not just a spinning wheel. Yeah. Probably the user is going to bounce.
I agree. No, I Yeah, I'm guilty of it. Although I usually wait about 3 seconds. After 3 seconds, I these guys are slow. I'm out of here.
Yeah, and in mobile, the thing is that even though we have better technology, we have better network connection, times in mobile are going up. They are not going down.
Yeah.
And that's because we're also incorporating other type of tools, especially for marketing, that are bloating the websites and that are not performing as they should be. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to be in the balance, especially to perform well on mobile devices.
Yeah. So PO is based in the Bay Area, I know, but do you have employees all over the country or all over the world and possibly in Uruguay too?
Yeah, well, today we're a very, very small team, small with very, very good seniority on web performance. We are 4 people in total, and we have 2 engineers in Uruguay, and we have 1 marketer working from Argentina.
Mm. So you're the only one in the US. So you since day one, you've been a remote company, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I started working remotely around 2013, mm-hmm. Kind of by force, because I was working from Uruguay with a partner in San Diego in California. So we had to be remote. There was no yeah. question about what we can do. I was not going to relocate back then. And we managed it very well by the time. We had a call every time we need, and things just moved smoothly. We had, in a certain way, we had the sales team in San Diego and we had the technology team in Uruguay. So we just needed a communication between the sales and the CEO and the tech team to understand what we need to deliver as a product. Mm-hmm. But with PO, it was more intentional. We really wanted to provide a better way of working for everyone. We are all going to be apart. In Uruguay, for example, we have 1 person is in the capital in Montevideo. Another person is about 50 kilometers away. So he doesn't need to travel to Montevideo to an office to get to work. He loves to live there and he doesn't want to move, but it's also a great engineer. So you start, you don't have limits on the type of people you can hire.
Yeah.
And the type of professionals. I was talking with an engineer from Shopify. They recently canceled their office. I think it was they were building a new office in Canada. They canceled that after COVID. And they said, okay, we're going to go remote. We're going to be a remote company from now on. We're going to change to that. Mm. And after canceling, they started hiring people in the US and in other parts of the world, very with a much different experience of what they had from the people relocating to Canada. Mm-hmm. And the talent, the quality of the people they were bringing into the company was adding a very good variety of what they already had. And they were very happy about that going on, because before, for them, it was like, yeah, they were having issues trying to get people mm-hmm. to relocate to Canada, right?
Yeah, no, I know. And where, I don't even know where they headquartered in Canada. Do you know what city?
I don't know. Maybe Toronto.
Probably Toronto. Yeah, that would be my guess. That's a pretty big city. So interesting. So what prompted you to move to the Bay Area, since you literally could have lived anywhere in the world?
Sorry, what? What was the question?
Why did you move to the Bay Area? Since you're a remote company, you literally could have lived anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah, well, initially it was for the meetings, but that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, interesting. So you literally could move anywhere else in the world now, right?
Now I could move anywhere else in the world. Actually, we had 2 options also because of the time zone. That's something else that is important to take into account for the remote. With Uruguay right now and the Bay Area, we have 5 hours when we have... daylight saving times, we have 4 hours, so less than that. The other option was New York. We have only 2 hours of difference on 1 hour in daylight saving times. So that was pretty good. And yeah, the objective was mostly to be able to go and get meet the clients that we have a lot in California, and we have a lot in New York too. That was one part. The other part is the relationship with the investors. And the other part is something that as a founder, an entrepreneur, you want to meet and you want to get to know the people that have already walked that road, you know, and learn from them. And I think that the best place today, and I think that's still true, is to be in the Bay Area to be able to interact with those people and to be able to learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very true. I agree. There are a lot of people here that have a lot of experience in that. So
Yeah.
So I mean, you started out as a remote company. You already are. You it sounds like you will always be a remote company, but you know, when COVID hit, everybody went remote. Did that cause any problems for you or for any of your customers that you didn't foresee?
Well, when COVID hit and everybody was going remote, we were already prepared to work that way. Our wheels were already turning. So we were kind of waiting for the rest of the people to adapt to that. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to get meetings with new clients or get meetings with the actual clients, with the clients we already have. And we were having issues with that because people were just going crazy about how to adapt to this new way of working. We're like, okay, we're waiting for you to adapt so we can have a talk. We can show you what you can do. There are things that you need to take care of right now regarding your performance because everyone is going to be going to your website. Mm-hmm. And e-commerce sales went up very, very fast. I think that we, in the US, the e-commerce went up like as similar as the traction that it had in the past 10 years. So in 1 year of COVID, we had the growth in e-commerce that we didn't have 10 years ago in the last 10 years. But they were struggling with fulfillment. If you didn't bought from Amazon, you're probably going to wait 3-4 weeks to get your things delivered. And that, of course, was an issue for us as a company that we're trying to sell to e-commerce. We're trying to sell to companies that have an important web presence.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the hard part of it.
Yeah, interesting. So did you also help with the fulfillment part, or are you strictly on the technical side?
No. But we know for the talks we had that they were struggling in all different areas to adapt to that. And even if e-commerce went up and the natural reaction is, okay, your sales have to go up. Not necessarily, because those companies, we have one company from Canada, is one of the largest hardware stores in Canada. They were selling very good in e-commerce. They were having a lot of more traffic, but they had their retail stores closed. Mm. And even if they were selling more in e-commerce, in overall revenue was less than what they should have.
Interesting. So
yeah.
I mean, from your standpoint, I'm assuming you're going to stay remote, but what do you think is the future of remote employment, both, you know, US and worldwide going forward?
So there are a few challenges. I do hope that remote becomes the default setup for everyone that needs to be working from a computer, mm-hmm. right? If you don't have to be delivering something, if you don't have to be, I don't know, treating a person in a hospital or things like that, I think that remote first, it's the best. And then having some place to go, if you want to have an office, you want to have a quarterly retirement with the company, to have the social part in it, that can work. From my experience, we have a very good communication in the company, and that can be sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, the main problem. The rest you can work and you can find out a way to make it work. But of course, it's not only challenging for some companies and for their processes. If you have a very, very large company adapting to it, if you didn't have COVID in the middle, maybe you wouldn't have done it,
mm-hmm.
Because therefore it's so big. But also it's hard for certain people.
Right.
You need to have well-established social group for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that some people get that in the work. Maybe they don't go play soccer, or they don't go fishing for social activities.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do that at work. And for that people, being alone at their home may be very, very challenging. So that's another part that I think it's challenging. And with new generations, I don't think that's going to be a problem. They are already digital natives. They're not going to have a problem with that, but probably older generations may have bigger issues adapting to it.
True. I would agree. And I think that the younger generation already knows how to use social media and things like that for their social interaction. They don't need it as much at work. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And maybe it's easier for them to do it digitally than in person. It's like, what? I have to talk to someone in person?
Well, I actually think that will eventually swing back. I think we all do need that personal touch. But I think it'll be a blend of both eventually.
Yeah. And the other part is, as we're switching and we're having different types of social interactions, the mental health part is very, very important.
It is.
To take care of and to monitor. And it's easier for you to monitor. And we are trained as humans to monitor and to see how a person is feeling. If you have it right next to you, you can understand if the person is frustrated, if he's stressed, or anything like that. And you can help with that. If you're remote and you're only seeing them through video or like maybe 20, 30 minutes a day, that's going to be very hard to accomplish. And it's going to be very hard to track and very hard to help those type of people that may go through those problems.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, Nico, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been very interesting learning about your product and your journey. I want to wish PO all the success in the world. I hope you have a great 2021.
Thank you very much, Mark. It was a pleasure.
Bye.